Lord, your word is so wonderful. Lord, it gives us guidance and direction. It is truth, Lord. It doesn't just contain truth, but it is truth from beginning to end. And so, Lord, today, might we hear the truth, Lord, from your word. Might your Holy Spirit be our teacher and our guide. And we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Well, grab your Bibles, please, and turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 108. Psalm 108. Oh God, my heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise even with my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people, and I will sing praises unto thee among the nations, for thy mercy is great above the heavens, and thy truth reaches unto the clouds. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth. That thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand and answer me. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice, I will divide Shechem. And mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine, and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Over Philistia will I triumph. Who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Will not thou, O God, who hast cast us off, and will not thou, O God, go forth with our hosts? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you've called us into relationship with yourself and you have revealed yourself to us through your word. We thank you for the psalmist's heart, Lord, in this psalm. Might we hear that heart? Might we experience the fullness, Lord, of relationship with you as we consider these things? And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, every one of us has something in our lives that needs to be fixed, whether it's in the material realm or in the spiritual or emotional realms. And we know that the source of our healing, the source of our fixing is the Lord God. He's the one who meets our needs. He's the one who will bring what is necessary to fix our lives. And one of the things that the psalmist would tell us here is that importance of having our hearts fixed. Now, you can look at that really at two levels. Before Jesus Christ, our hearts were broken, if you will. Desperately wicked, Jeremiah would say. And yet, when we came to the foot of the cross, what we find is that the Lord stepped in and fixed our hearts. And as a result of that, then it takes us to the other aspect of being fixed. It is the idea of setting our attention to something. God fixed our hearts, and then we in turn fix our eyes upon the one who fixed our hearts. And that's what the Lord is telling us through the psalmist here, that God calls us to committed praise. He says there in verse one, "O God, my heart is fixed." We choose on what we fix our hearts. We can have a heart that's fixed on the things of the world, or we can have a heart that's fixed on the things of God. We have to choose. And the psalmist would tell us that we need to begin this journey in the morning. Even with my glory, awake, psaltery, and harp, I myself will awake early. And I love that picture. We need to throw ourselves into it, if you will. We need to be all about our relationship with the Lord. He says, I will awake early. I will praise you, Lord. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. All of the instruments are to awake early, the psaltery or the lute, the harp, and all of the things that are used to praise the Lord, the guitar, the piano, whatever it is that we're using, we can use those things as we begin to enter into that relationship with Him. He wants us to minister to Him from our glory, if you will, is one translation says. The Lord wants us to throw everything that we have into our relationship. It is a weighty relationship. And so the Lord calls us to that place. The instruments that are created, and every single one of us are instruments as well. And we have been created to bring music, a wonderful melody, if you will, into the presence of the Lord. I don't know if you've gone to a concert or to an orchestra who is preparing to do a presentation. And as they prepare to do the presentation, you begin to hear the music, the instruments awaken. They begin to play and they begin to tune and they begin to prepare. And then all of a sudden it explodes into this masterpiece of presentation. And it is such a wonderful and moving experience. And really, if you look at our lives, that's exactly what the Lord is doing in your life and mine. We are awakening moment by moment, little by little, day by day, week by week, month by month. We are being tuned up. We are being prepared. We are being launched into then a relationship with the God of heaven. Because He says there, I will praise Thee, O Lord, in verse 3, among the people. I will sing praises unto Thy name among the nations, for Thy mercy is great above the heavens, and Thy truth reaches unto the clouds. You see, we are standing out in the crowd. We're moving through this life. But we have to choose what the level of our relationship is going to be in the crowd. Are we going to be standing in the crowd, or are we going to be standing with the crowd? God has called us to stand in the crowd, to be that clarion call, you see, to the world, that Jesus is real, that He changes lives, that He is in the business of redeeming that which is broken and lost and thrown away from the world standpoint. But God is the great redeemer. And I love that. We can stand in the crowd and we can make a difference. You can make a difference. There isn't a single person in this place today that cannot make a difference in our world for Jesus. We need to do that. Whatever level He calls you to, just be faithful to that. Matter of fact, the Bible says, don't despise the day of small things. Because sometimes what we think of as a small thing becomes a very big thing in God's economy. Think about the person who shared the gospel with Billy Graham when he was just a boy. He came to know Christ. That man had no idea how God would use him, that rural pastor. You know, probably at some point in his life, maybe much of his life, discouraged. And yet God would bring one to him to see him come to know Jesus, that he might go out and see millions saved. You never know what impact your life's going to be on the lives of other people. Peter, rather than standing in the crowd, was standing with the crowd. You remember when Jesus was taken by the religious leaders and he was put on trial. Peter, he accompanied the group, but it tells us that he was standing, warming himself at the fire of the world, denying Jesus. Three times he denied Jesus. Why? Because he was standing with the world rather than in the world, being what God had created him to be. And yet God could break through all of that, that failure, and call him to be one of the pillars, if you will, of the church. And I love that. That's the redeeming power of our God. In verse 5, he says, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth, that thy beloved may be delivered. Say with thy right hand and answer me. God is exalted in our praise. When you lift your voice, when you lift your voice in praise and in worship, you're exalting the God of heaven. Literally, you are, according to the scriptures, building him a throne upon which he can sit. That's what our praises do. That's why they're so important, you see, as we join together, as we lift our praises. We marvel at the reality that we can bless God. And yet we marvel at the reality of the heavens and the earth that declare his glory. You know, as we look at what's going on around us right now in our in our world, the season changes and all the leaves changing colors and just the beauty of all of that and the rain beginning to fall and the green returning and all of those things. We watch that and we set our eyes on the skies and we look at the billions upon billions of galaxies and the billions of stars within those galaxies. And we are given the privilege of worshiping the one who created it all. Who created it all? Psalm 147, the psalmist says, he tells the number of the stars. He calls them all by their names. That's a lot of names. But that's our God. That's how big he is. It says he holds the universe in the span of his hand. Wow. I marvel every time I think about that and I consider the night skies. It's just such a glorious reality. Our Heavenly Father is above all of that. He's above earth. He's above heaven. He's above all of the things that would seem to trouble us in these days. He's above it. And he says, come join me. Set your eyes on things above, not on things of the earth. That's where we want to be, you see. I mean, we know that there's much going on in our world that is evil and twisted and bad. But we know the Redeemer that can change that. And they're changed one person at a time. We're not going to redeem the system. The Bible's clear about that. The system is going to be judged. We see it in the book of Revelation. But we've been called to flavor the system. We've been called to be the salt. We've been called to be the light. We've been called to be that clarion call that Jesus saves to the uttermost. I love that. I read an interesting little account yesterday. It was a short thing. This girl, matter of fact, I believe it was Robert Schuller, if you might remember that name, the Crystal Cathedral, I think. His daughter was in a car accident and she lost her leg. They had to amputate her leg. And while she was in the hospital, she received a note from John Wayne. John Wayne had a high regard apparently for Robert Schuller, so he sent this little girl a note, just wishing her well, hoping that everything would work out. Well, she turned around and sent him a note saying, you know what? Thank you so much for that. But I want to ask you a question. Do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Well, I want to know that John Wayne will be with me in heaven. And she was there and this man came to visit her after she'd finished the note. She put it in an envelope, put John Wayne's name on it, but wasn't quite sure how to get it to him. Well, this fellow shows up to visit her, who just happened to be going to a dinner party where John Wayne was going to be. And so they're sitting around this table, about a dozen of them, and they're laughing and joking and doing what you do at a party. And he reached into his pocket for something, and then he remembered that he had this note. So he says, John, I have a note from you from this girl. And he handed it, and they handed it down the table, and John Wayne opened it, and then he read it to them, and then he began to weep. And he said, you can tell her that she will see me in heaven, because he accepted Christ based on what she had done, what she had written to him. I love that. I love those kinds of stories. And you have those kinds of stories as well. And it's a wonderful thing to see how God works in all of these things. And we need to realize, as it says there, that we are God's beloved. It says, be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens, and thy glory above all the earth, that thy beloved may be delivered, save with thy right hand, and answer me, the beloved. David so praised the Lord at the beginning of this psalm, or the writer of the psalm, I would say, so praised the Lord that we had no idea that he was going through trauma. He was going through difficulty because he was exalting the name of God, even in the face of those circumstances. That's a challenge to us, is it not? Because that's not where we want to be when we're going through hard times. We don't want to be praising and exalting the Lord. We would rather be in that little pity party, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, fixed upon the difficulties that we're going through rather than praising the Lord. You, like David, I, like David, are God's beloved. That word is Yadid. His name, actually, David's name, means beloved. David, beloved. And so we grab a hold of that And he says, you can deliver us, Lord. Save with your right hand and answer me. You know, as we prayed this morning about the difficulties in life that are going on around us and in people's lives that we know and care about, sometimes people lose sight of the reality that God is at work and that he will deliver, that the victory really, listen, the victory has already been won. We just haven't caught up to it yet. And when we lose sight of that reality that the victory's already been won, we can find ourselves in that place of despair. And that's not where the Lord wants us to live. He wants us to live in that place of victory. There's victory in Jesus, the old hymnist would say. And that's true in our lives. We need to walk in the victory, even when we are heart sick, downhearted, whatever it happens to be, because deliverance will come for us personally, for the church as a whole, and for Israel in the final analysis. Israel, we know, has been set aside for a time because the church has become God's agent during this season, the church age. But that's going to come to a close. Listen, very soon, I believe, very soon, the Lord is going to come. He's going to call his bride to be with him. The trumpet will sound, and we're going to be caught up to be with him. That gives us, or should give us, hope. That should give us joy. That should give us an invigoration or reinvigoration. Lord, help me to redeem this time, because I know there are people in my life right now that do not know Jesus, that would be left behind to go through what we read about in the book of Revelation. That is so impacting, and it should be impacting on us. It should drive us to our knees, and then it should drive us to go and to share. Deliverance is on its way, guys. Verse 7. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. Gilead is mine and Manasseh is mine. Ephraim also is the strength of mine head. Judah is my lawgiver. Moab is my washpot. Over Edom will I cast out my shoe. Over Philistia will I triumph. God speaks as we praise. Might our lives be a work of praise as we're just living our lives? Might we go through our lives with an attitude of praise and worship? Might that aroma fill the world around us? It says, God has spoken. And I love that. God has spoken in his holiness. Today, God is speaking to you. He's speaking to me through Jesus, the Spirit of Christ who indwells us, is speaking to us. He's speaking to our hearts. He's speaking to our hearts as we spend time in his word. He's speaking to our hearts as we are in fellowship with one another, watering one another in the spirit. Sometimes you'll say something to someone, you won't even know it, but it will pierce their heart. It will impact them in some way. That's what God does. He's speaking. He's speaking. Hebrews 1 says, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Note that Jesus sat down. Why? Because the work was done. No longer do we have to work. No longer do we have to earn. We just need to rest. We need to sit. We need to sit at the feet of Jesus. We need to realize that the work is completed. I love it. When we go back to the Gospels and we're there with Jesus on the cross and he declares those words, Tetelestai, it is finished. It is done. Thank you, Jesus, that it's done, because I know how far short I fall. We need to know a greater than ourselves, and his name is Jesus. Get to know him. Spend time with him. Spend time in his word. Spend time in the Gospels. Read it out loud. Just hear the words of Jesus spoken. It is powerful. It's a powerful experience. We need to know that one who is greater than ourselves, because man needs to hear God's voice, and you become that. I become that. You are God's voice. As you speak the truth, as you speak the scriptures, the Bible says that. It tells us that Jesus is now living his life through us. He is speaking through us. We have the mind of Christ. That's a mind blower for me. The mind of Christ. How do I tap into that, Lord? You know, I want to be more connected to that mind, Lord, and less connected to the mind of the world. The Lord has just been so convicting me about mixture in my own life. Things that you wouldn't say are heinous or horrendous, but they're mixture. They're things of the world that distract. And the Lord says, you don't need those things. Stay focused upon me. Draw near to me. He speaks to us by his Holy Spirit today. By the way, let me ask you a question. When you came here this morning, did you come here expecting to hear God speak to you? Did you come to hear him speak to you? As you worshiped, as you prayed, as we prayed together, as we get into the word together, do we expect God to move and to speak? I hope so. We need to take time to listen. It's like we need to hear what he has to say because it's always good. It's always good and beneficial. And that's where the dynamics of a spiritual conversation come into play. It isn't just us talking to him, asking him for things, interceding on behalf of others, giving him praise and worship. I mean, all those things are good, but there's another side of that, to simply stop and say, Lord, speak to me. Have you ever been reading your Bible and you're reading along and all of a sudden this verse is like, all of a sudden it just raises right off the page, if you will, and it speaks to your heart. That's God speaking. That's awesome. That's what we want to experience, God speaking. That's so, so important for us. Because you see, God has promised a possession to his people. You and I, we are moving into the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land of milk and honey. We call it the Christian life. And that journey will not be open over until the day that we step into eternity. But it is a journey. There's no place that God says, I want you to pull out a lawn chair and park. He wants us to move. He wants us to move through the gates of salvation into the promised land and through the battles that will take place at Jericho and Ai and beyond. God is moving us. He's moving you. He's moving me. He says, there are battles ahead, but take heart because I've won the victory already. Just walk in it. Walk in it. As we do, he's going to be glorified. All the promises, the scripture said, listen, all the promises are yes in Jesus. All the promises of scripture are yes in him. We can appropriate those things. The promises of God's word. There are some promises given to Israel that are not ours, but there are many, many promises that are ours, and we need to know what they are, and we need to embrace them. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you ever get to that place where you just think, Lord, I just can't do it anymore. I'm done. I'm tired. I just can't move on. And then he reminds you of that verse. Oh, shoot. Okay, Lord. We can do it. We can make it. Fear not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. And you can go through the scriptures, the promises. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. That's a good one. I need that. I should have it tattooed on my forehead, except for I don't do tattoos. Oh, I guess I could do henna, but you know, here's the deal. As we enter these situations in life, all of a sudden, God quickens to our heart the scriptures that we have been meditating upon. Invariably, where we find ourselves in scripture, there will be a situation or circumstance that comes up where we can make use of that which he has ministered to us in the lives of others or within our own life. So true, you see. And finally, in the last of this psalm, we read, who will bring me into the strong city? Who will lead me into Edom? Wilt thou, O God, who has cast us off, will not thou, O God, go forth with our hosts? Give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Through God we shall do valiantly, for he it is that shall tread down our enemies. God provides the victory which enables praise. And we can praise him before the victory. We need to praise him before the victory. When the people of Israel were standing on the edge of the Red Sea and the Egyptians were bearing down on them, they weren't praising the Lord for the victory. They were saying, why did you bring us out here to get us killed, Moses? But then when they got on the other side, the waters parted. They go through. Pharaoh's army takes a bath, a long-term bath. And they get over there. And what do? They dance and they sing and they give God praise for the victory. We need to praise God before the victory. God, I know that this situation is coming. I know the circumstance is bearing down. But Father, I give you praise because I know that I'm going to come through this. I'm going to be made more like Jesus. I'm going to have victory because the victory is yours, not mine. And you're going to use it for your glory. And it changes everything about how we approach life. David found lasting strength in the God of the Bible. Lasting strength. All of those places that were mentioned in the previous verses are all places there that were in the land of Israel. Gilead and Manasseh, there on the east side of the Jordan, at least half that tribe of Manasseh. Judah, the lawgiver, the central part of government where Jerusalem is, where David ruled and reigned. And you go through all of these places, and he says, Lord, these places like Edom and Moab and Philistia, the Philistines, they are all our enemies, Lord, but yours is the victory. He says, who's going to bring us to victory, Lord? Who will bring me into the strong city? You know, it's interesting, that strong city probably is the city of Petra. And I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of the city of Petra. The rock city there in Jordan today was Edom at that time. It was in Indiana Jones, one of the movies. They went down the Seek, down through the Seek, and came out in that open area where the what they call the treasury, where they actually built a temple right into the solid rock wall. It's really an amazing thing. But it was considered an impregnable city. And so David, or the writer, says, Lord, who will deliver me into the strong city? Who's going to give us the victory? Edom said, hey, we're impregnable. You can't get in here. And the writer says, hey, I beg to differ because I serve a great God and his victory is already won. And so we often find ourselves trying to do it our own way or turning to others rather than turning to God who has already given us the victory. The one thing for sure we see in verse 12, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Two things. One, difficult times turn people to God. Difficult times turn people to God. It is in the difficult times when we hit the unanticipated bump in the road that we cry out to our God. It's in the good times that we can lose that focus. Who will deliver us? He said, because vain is the help of man. People run to this person or that officer, that doctor, various things to get help rather than going first to God and saying, God, you're my help. God, you're my provider. You're Jehovah Jireh, my provider. You're the God of more than enough. You're El Shaddai. You're Jehovah Shalom. You're my peace. No longer do I have to live in the torment of my mind. I can be set free from that. And we need to know and understand that. We don't have to run to a psychologist's couch or a psychiatrist's couch for that help or the medications that they want to throw at you. We need to go to Jesus. He is the great healer. Listen. He is the great healer. I speak from personal experience because my family went through that. My dad had a horrible journey in that area. And he was a believer in Jesus. But he lost focus. He lost focus and he got in the system. And once he got in the system, the stuff that they put him through was just horrendous. So if you're going through those difficulties or you know someone who's going through those difficulties, pray for them. Lay hands upon them. Pray for their deliverance. Bring others to come and pray for their deliverance. God is powerful, and he's the healer. He's the healer. He'll do it. Jesus, listen, Jesus has defeated the enemy. Paul would declare in 1 Corinthians 15, oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. Listen, your labor, guys, is not in vain. Don't give up. Run the race. Hold on. It's a wild ride, to be sure, but it's a glorious ride. because we're with Jesus, and he is the one who is piloting our ship. There are many things in this world beyond our control, but what we need to do is need to simply be steadfast. As we open this psalm, my heart is fixed. My heart is steadfast. I think the New King James renders that. My heart is steadfast. Lord, help my heart to be steadfast. Help our hearts to be steadfast. Lord, when the world is caving in around us, help us to be upon the rock and to be steadfast in him. Nothing is beyond God's control. The victory is his. Listen, the fix is in. We win because he won. And one day it'll all be over. And we'll stand in his presence and we will hear, "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant." May it be so in our lives. Help us to run the race well, Lord. Help us to run together. Might we be linked up as a body here. Might we be one in heart and in purpose. Might we be praying diligently for one another. And if things happen that cause disruption in relationship, get it fixed. Humble yourself and make it right. That's what the Lord wants for us. We're a family. We're a family. Restoration, reconciliation, biblical forgiveness is something that most Christians don't understand at all. Biblical forgiveness. We need to know true forgiveness. We know it if we know him. Then we need to express it in the lives of the lives of those around us. So important. Don't carry those things of unforgiveness because it only leads to bitterness. That's kind of an aside. May our hearts be fixed this morning as we worship him. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, it is so wonderful. It is challenging. It is refreshing. It is encouraging. Lord, it is edifying. And it is so much more. I pray, Father, that you would help each one of us to be students of your word, lovers of your word, devourers of your word, Lord. And might our hearts be steadfast as a result. Fill us afresh with your spirit today, Lord. We ask for that. But more than that, Lord, we ask that you pour out your spirit upon us. Lord, anoint us for service. Empower us, Lord, that we stand up and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Might many lives be touched and changed as a result. We give you all praise, honor, and glory, Lord. And I pray the Lord would reveal himself to you this day in a very special way, that his spirit would fall, that fresh wind would blow, that fire would burn, and that your life would be supercharged with the Holy Spirit. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And if you need prayer, please feel free to come up. We'll be glad to pray with you.